But money is on the bottom of the list with God. But His promises are yes and amen. See, His promises, when His promises is what we are going after, then we're not going after things. We're after His will. His will is that we be... The Bible says that God is not coming back after a weak, broke, discouraged, oppressed church. The Bible said He's coming back after a what? Glorious. Glorious church. The Bible also says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall come, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Talking about revelation of who we are. Somebody said yesterday, I was done a little mini sermonette, I guess you could call it, or whatever I feel led. And this person, Teresa, brought out a great illustration, you know, of the times that we're living in, you know, that God is the same God and justice is going to be served and mercy is here, but judgment is going to be carried out. It's called justice. And God is going to carry out justice. But He gave us Jesus the way to get that justice. Justice is good or it can be bad. See, if we're on God's side, justice is good. But if we're not on God's side, then justice is not going to be good. And so this guy, I know them, and they don't go to church or nothing. And they think they're led to go to go-go bars and pray for people with cancer and different things, you know. And so he started out, and he said, "Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world." I said, "Well, come to church then." See, I need to get you straightened out. You all warped up about God. You all warped up, and that's what Teresa was talking about this morning. You warped up about God, but you ain't going to make the church believe that this is God. The way you're living, the way you're doing and all that. I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm talking about being warped up. Don't claim greater is the one that's in you that's in me and you don't follow Him and make me believe that greater is He that's in you. The devil quoted the scripture to Jesus. See, we are to live, have a clear mind. I told Travis one time he wanted a tattoo and he found it in the Bible, where Paul carried the marks of the Lord Jesus. I told him, I said, "You know what them marks are?" I said, "Them marks are stoned, drug out of the city, put in locks and buns." You know, I said, "Those marks," I said, "listen, don't use the scripture to get what you want. Don't ever do it." I told him, "Don't do that. The scripture is the only, if you want a tattoo, get a tattoo. But don't use the Bible to get your fleshly desires." That's twisting scripture. Now, he didn't mean to. I mean, but I thought, I can't go along with that. I just can't do it, because then it's going to come and it's going to start deteriorating my faith. See, to keep a clear mind, we have to stick with scriptures. We have to stay praying and fasting and what the scripture says. And darkness is covering this earth. I've never seen it so dark on the news. I'm talking about the way the churches are called evil today. They want us stopped. They did a trial run. They shut the world down. The government did it. They shut it down. And then they paralyzed God's people. A lot of them. I wasn't one of them, bless God. I didn't partake in it. Yes, I wore the mask. Yes, I didn't want to. If I had it, I didn't want to give it to people. But in here, I kept my heart free from fear and it killing me to be absent. I used scripture. I said to be absent. See, that's a worry-free mind. Now, some people says, "Well, there's no way to live a worry-free, you know, a worry-free life." People told me, "There's no way." I said, "That's not what your Bible says." The Bible says don't worry about your life. Jesus said don't worry about it. Worrying, see, the Lord told me Wednesday when he told me, you know, and I brought the sermon about complaining, you know, and I might even mention some more stuff, you know, about complaining. He told me, he said, you're complaining too much. You're complaining like the children of Israel. Well, I was complaining about my job not working out. I was complaining about the choices other people are making, causing hardship on me. I was just saying it. I was just saying it out loud. And so I just started, and I repented, and Thursday morning come up, you know. And see, now this is part of living a carefree, joy-filled, enjoy-yourself life. When are you going to enjoy it? You better enjoy it now. We got to enjoy life right now, right where we're at, right where we live, even in the turmoil and the troubles and all of that. And the only way that we're really going to be able to do that is we train ourselves not to ever complain. Not one time. Thursday morning, first thing, something happened. I got up and I'm fixing to complain. And I said, oh, no. Travis, I said, I was fixing to start complaining. I said, that's not going to happen again. I'll never complain. I started confessing. I will never complain again. See, because, you know, fear, complaining, really, the Lord told me, he said, what you're complaining because your circumstances are not favorable for you and it's causing you hardship or something you don't like. He said, but in reality, he said, you are surrendering to that. He said, you're surrendering to it. Well, I've done a sermon here a while back, buddy, surrender only to victory. So, and I started meditating on that, and I thought, man, you know, well, it ain't really a major big deal, is it, Lord? He said, it's killing your faith. It's killing your joy. It's bringing you under oppression. He said, it is a big deal. He said, don't complain. He said, complaining. He said, complaining. He said, you feel like you have a right. He said, you feel like you have a right to complain. He said, it feels real to you. And I said, yes, it does, Lord. He said, that's the way they felt in the wilderness. He said, and in the wilderness, he said, they did not get to enter into my promises. And we just found out today that God is the same God today that he was back yonder in the wilderness. God has not changed. God's ways has not changed. His covenant has changed. And he made a good, better covenant with us, Jesus. He sealed it in his own blood that we don't have to do the sacrifices and all that. We voluntarily, out of our heart, serve the Lord now. It's not about do's and don'ts and all. We will have the do's and don'ts if we serve him, if we walk with him. We don't have to be too overly concerned about the do's and the don'ts. Just get the word and get our minds renewed with the word of God and make quality decisions. Quality decision is a decision that I make based on the word of God that I'm not going to worry. I refuse to worry. I refuse to complain. Now that takes some mind renewal, and that takes some dedication, that takes some working on it. That's why a lot of people will not get God's results. They won't work on it. They won't work on renewing their mind. They won't work on not worrying. Preachers told me one time, walked up to them, and I'd read that scripture in there where Jesus said, don't worry. He said, take no thought and all that, you know. Don't worry about your life and all that. I started studying that, and I realized that the words in there in the Greek was worry. I worried about losing Teresa at that time because we couldn't stay together 7 years. We separate and back and forth and all that stuff. And I paid for a divorce and made payments on it, and we got back together and never used it. I mean, it truly happened. I borrowed the money, went and paid full for the divorce, and we were separated, and we got back together right the day before or a couple of days before or whatever, but that didn't change. The lawyer ain't giving me my money back. And so that worry and all of that stuff, after I was born again, trying to work, Some things try to work on you that's happened and bring it up to you and get you to worry about it, worry about your life, worry about dying, worry. Now, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when the devil comes to me and says, this is going to happen to you and you're going to die and all that, I tell him, hey, Jack, you'd be doing me a favor if you could kill me, but you can't kill me. But because the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the one that I serve. So you got to come back with that stuff. You can't meditate on you're going to smother in the grave. What if you don't? What if you're not dead? All, I mean, your mind will do that kind of stuff to you and cause you to fear death, cause you to, you know, we and worry. Worry about your life. You're not to worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about money. Well, I ain't got none. Well, you ain't going to get none like that. How many car payments has worry paid? None. It gets your faith so that you're going to lose your car. Just making a little example there. Worry don't generate no power. Not no good power. Worry and fear generate, it kills faith. It kills faith. You can have faith and get all excited about God, hallelujah, and things of God. And I mean through the Word and your worship and coming to church. Y'all get fired up here. I get fired up. I'm coming to church. It always fires me up. Why? I'm in the middle of the will of God. I'm going to do His will. I done make quality choice in my own life that I will not forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner some are. I done make quality choices that jobs don't come before church, that I will quit my job before I'll not go to church. And we're living in a generation where some will not fight to go to church. But you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling. See, now you're losing your faith. You're surrendering to not the will of God. Surrendering to whatever reason. The will of God is where the power of God is. Whatever you know and I know to be the will of God, then I mean make a quality decision, find you some scripture to back it up. Why? Because you're going to need faith to follow God in the will of God. You're going to need faith. You know, Paul said, some have made shipwreck with their faith. I mean, Paul had faith. And here comes the Lord and tells him, everywhere you go, you're going to be in bonds and chains and you're going to be in trouble. They going to put, I don't know what all he told Paul, but faith said, but none of these things move me. I count not my life dear to myself. See, faith does that. Faith will cause you to crucify this flesh. You don't have to try to crucify your flesh. You just find out the will of God and ask the Lord, help me to do your will, God, and all of that stuff, you know, and confess the scriptures, sin shall not have dominion over me. Out of Romans, I did it for years for some habit I had in my life that I couldn't get rid of, that I really wanted rid of as a Christian. And so I took that scripture and I said it year after year, month after month. And my mind says, you ain't going to never be free. But the Bible said, Jesus said, whom the Son set free is what? I knew that I was already been set free through Jesus. And when I give my heart to Jesus, I had already in the spirit realm been set free from everything that can hold me bound with my walk with the Lord. All I need to do now is get knowledge and get some backbone. Get knowledge that I've already been free, that I am a king and a priest unto God, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See how major it is, those things in the battles when you know the will of God, and then something says you can't do it, and you say, nah, the Bible says I can do all things. And then you rise up in here and say, God, through you, through your strength, through your power. I remember listen, we are living in a worried world. They're worried about hurricanes. They're worried about tornadoes. They're worried about earthquakes. They're worried about the government. They're worried about the government shutdown. Let them shut down. This is a fearmonger thing. They do this to get what they want. to put things in there because we got to hurry, Brad. See, God's not in a hurry. God ain't dumb to all that stuff. God knows what's going on. And you know what? They can try to pull that on whoever they want, but God's people are wiser than our enemy. We are wiser than our enemies. The word, your word, the Bible, David said, Lord, your word has made me wiser than my enemies. See, I'm the enemy is not going to get me to go after money. He's not going to get me. I'm smarter than that. You can't serve two masters. See, I always looked at the word as getting on to me all the time. And God told me one time, He said, you're looking at my word the wrong way. He said, you can't look at my word as getting on to you. He said, my word is my love letter to you. He said, and it's showing you the way. He said, it's showing you the way to freedom. He said, when you embrace my word, embrace my truth, he said, that's when you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. He said, that's when truth comes and separates and makes you free. See, I read the Bible one time. I remember when I learned just a little bit, 20 years, and people's always, a lot of people, not everybody, they say, oh, Scotty's that name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. But I found out in the Bible that Paul was that way. He laid hold of God's promises and wasn't going to back down. And he told it. You know, I went to the Lord one time and I said, Lord, they're calling me a name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it preacher. He said, well, they don't get nothing out of there and name it. They don't claim nothing out of my Bible like you. And they sure don't blab it out of their mouth. They go against you for doing it. He said, I told you in the word. He said, as therefore you, we have the same spirit of faith, Paul said. So having the same spirit of faith, he said, therefore we believe. He said, and therefore we what? Confess. I didn't write that Bible. God wrote that Bible. In these things, through seeking the Lord to make sure, because my pastor told me one time, he said, Brother Scotty, be careful about what people tell you about the Lord. Now, I didn't know why. I thought, what is he talking about? I didn't have no idea what he's talking about, why he would even say that to me. And then I heard another preacher, and this is how faithful mine and your God is. He will not let you get on off course and not bring you the word, the truth, to make sure that you have knowledge. And so he says, this preacher, he says, why do you believe what you believe? So I started thinking about why do I believe? And some of the things that I believe was because the church said it. Wasn't even in line with Scripture. I mean, you know, go around, you hear that doctrine. You can't believe this stuff because the enemy comes to you and he will use those evidence that you have. The only evidence me and you need to know that we have victory is that Bible. That Bible. I don't need nothing else. That Bible is sound. That Bible is true. That Bible is powerful. There's power in the Word. Faith is in the Word, Romans 10, 17. The faith comes by hearing by the word that I read, by the word that I meditate on, by the word that I keep in my heart, you know. So don't be ashamed to go around claiming that you're healed. All you're doing is saying Jesus already paid for it and by gollies I'm going to say it. He said it, he wrote it, he took it, he sealed it, and it is mine. And I don't care if the church don't or the world don't like it. I'm not trying to convince them. I'm trying to stay convinced myself. And that gives me a clear mind. When I get a doctor's report, I'm clear on it. Praise God, this is the way it is. So I go to speak into my body. I go to laying my hands on my body. Why would I not do it? The Bible says I will lay hands on the sick, right, and they'll recover. Why does this talk? I'm sick. Well, I'm not, this ain't me. This body's not you. Greater is he that's in you. The real you is going, the real you is going to leave you one day, and you're going to be laying in a coffin. And that we're only vehicles that God's living in here. And so that you are a gift from God, you know, and so why not lay hands on yourself? Why not hear from the Lord and prophesy your future if he says it? If he tells you to speak to that mountain, then don't beg it. You say it. You say, I command you in the... I had a bunch of bills, and it was almost Christmas, and I set out in my business, I'm going to give everybody Christmas bonuses, and I'm going to believe God. I'm going to have to believe God for it. Well, November was there, and all the bills I had, they were about that high for the business. And I looked at all and I knew, I thought, oh, Jesus. Lord, this is going to get in the way. Now, I'm a baby Christian at this time. You got to remember, I don't know what I know now. I'm a baby. I'm only feeding them. I'm getting his Bradley at church, and that was enough. So I'm telling the Lord, oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that somehow this will... And the Lord spoke to me, he said, speak to those bills and call them paid. I'm back there and I'm like, that's dumb. Just do it, Lord. That's dumb. You know, and the Lord said, speak to them. Lay your hands on them and call them paid. Call those things that be not. Ain't that what he said in Romans 4? And God calls those things that be not as though they were. And I found a scripture in the Bible. It says, as God is, so are we. So are we in this earth, it says. And so I thought, well, you know the Bible says, don't lean to your own understanding. And so I just laid hands on those bills, and I said, I speak to you. You're a mountain, like Jesus said in there. You're in my way of doing the will of God. I'm going to give. I said, I command you to be paid. They're paid in the name of Jesus. I receive it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, I will be able to give everybody, Lord, because you said you would supply all of my needs. I started speaking to that, and I'm telling you, in 1 week, we didn't owe not one bill. And we, after we give everybody and strangers $500, we just looking for people, man. We give all the hands $500 each for Christmas. And in the 90s, that was a lot of money. Back in 1990, I don't know when it was, five or six. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Whoo! I used to go steal everybody's money. Now I'm giving money. See, that's when you know you have embraced truth. Because truth turns you around. Truth sets you free. Truth begins to bring inspiration to you after the things of God. And you know what? I'm called blessed today. You know what people call me? Easy money. Easy money. Well, faith is easy. Right? Faith is easy. Faith rests. Faith trusts. Faith is, it's a substance. Faith is real. Faith is a title deed to my supply, to your supply. Ain't that what Hebrews 11 says? It's a title deed. Well, we ain't been taught this way. Good. Relearn yourself. That's why he's coming back after a glorious church. He's not coming back after a whining pastor that everybody's up for church, so I ain't got no anointing to preach. God, you want to... I've been in the bathroom crying before, Brad, because I'm trying to build the kingdom, and people come, and they won't come. And I come, and Teresa didn't even show up one time, so I went ahead and preached the sermon. And I mean, when I got done preaching that sermon, I come off of there, glory to God, and I said, Lord, don't let nobody show up Sunday either. Boy, I had a glorious time under the anointing preaching to pews. See, but God told me, he said, what has people got to do with you doing what I've told you to do? And I said, they've got nothing to do with it, Lord. He said, then stop doing that. Stop getting down. So I left that bathroom and I said, I'll never be down again another day in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't care, Lord, this church is full, but if it don't, it's full to me. It's full of you. And you know what? I broke the back of that worry and fear and care. Don't the Bible say casting all our care over on the Lord, for He cares for us? Well, me worrying is not casting. If you are worrying, that is showing you that you don't have no faith. If you are worried about your kids, you ain't trusting God. If you are worried about your bills, you're not trusting God. I know it's a hard statement, but we want the truth, don't we? You cannot fear and be in faith at the same time. You cannot worry and be in faith at the same time. Not going to happen. And faith is the victory. Ain't that what 1 John 5:4 says? Whosoever is born of God. Somebody asked us yesterday, are y'all Baptist? No, we're not Baptist. They should not be no Baptist. I know it's a shocking statement. We go to a Baptist church, right? Nothing wrong with that, but I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not a Faith Restoration. I'm not a Faithway Christian Center Christian. We got to get all this garbage out of our way so that we can clearly see the Lord. Clearly see that He is not separate. He's not separated. He's not got different kids down here on this planet. He's got those that know Him, those that are born of the Spirit of God, those that are washed in the blood of Jesus, and those that take this Bible and they say it's not a Faithway Christian Center Bible, or it's not a Baptist Bible. This is a God-centered Bible. This is a God-breathed Bible, and He give His Holy Spirit to the Baptist, to the Methodist, to the Church of Christ, to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible said. That comforts me. I did tell a lady one time, she said, I'd like to come to your church. Because they, God's people love the anointing. Some of them don't even know what's happening to them. I got goosebumps. They've never felt nothing before. They're like, what was that? Well, you go to church? Oh, yeah, I've been in church for 35 years. You never felt that. Something up with that picture, ain't it? Well, I mean, what are y'all? I said, what are you, ma'am? I'm Baptist. I said, we're Baptist. I said, I'm a converted Baptist. What? What's that mean? I said, I'm a believing Baptist. I said, I went to a Baptist church and I didn't believe nothing but getting saved every week. I said, I left there and went to a church that I thought was radical. Bradley, I thought your church was just... I thought y'all were demon possessed. I've been trained down here in a church that everything that Bradley's church was doing was of the devil. And so I'm in there, but see, God knows, Brad. God knows where to get me. God knows how to get people where He needs them to where He can bound and show Himself real to. Show Himself real a little more, a little more, a little more. And coming on up, setting us on that holy highway, that set apart highway that evil can't cross there on. So I'm there and I'm like, I go home and I tell Tracy, I'm praying in tongues, that's a devil.
How do you know it's the devil?
She ain't been doctrinated, Brad. She got saved now. She wants more of God. You know, that's how come we know. We know, me and her know, if somebody is really born again, they want God. They don't have to make themselves want God. They want Him. Why? Because the wanter moved in. The one that's working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That one's moved on the inside of me and her, and that's how come if somebody tells me, I ain't never felt nothing, well, you ain't got saved. Go get in the altar. Because He comes in and you can't help but to want Him. I mean, after 30 years, I still want His will. But I've learned some things that the will of God, I've made quality. You got to make quality choices. Quality choice is a choice that you make based on the Word of God that you're going to be healed. And you stand on it. You say it out of your mouth every day. And when the naysayer says, "Well, that's dumb. God's sovereign. God is sovereign, but God is bound to His Word." Did you read that in there anywhere? I did. People, God's people, Satan fools God's people into thinking, well, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. You can look at this world right now and see that ain't so. The Bible says He would that none should perish. Reckon anybody going to hell? Yes, they are. That's His will. He's sovereign, but there's things that God can't do. He can't go against His own word. He will not go against man's will. He will not force me to serve Him. He will not force me to read the Bible. He will not force me. He'll convict me and convince me. Some people say, well, you know, somebody told me, they said, well, you know, we're living together. And everywhere we go, I mean, we hear about living together. I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, you stayed at my church too long to be stupid. I said, what do you think, man? I said, you've been trained here. I said, what do you think? I said, do you think God is not going to speak to your life? I said, that's not man doing that to you. I said, them men and women don't know what you're shacking, living together or whatever. I said, but God knows that you're destroying yourself. God knows that you're bringing destruction to yourself. God knows that you are separating yourself from Him. I said, man, do you not know that God is going to confront you with these things that you are doing to destroy? God don't destroy nobody. God does not. God spoke to me about 3 months ago, and He said, I'm faithful. And I said, I know it, Lord. I said, I know You're faithful, Lord. You are faithful. And He said, He just dropping this in my spirit. I've never heard God with my ears. He speaks to my spirit, man. Brings it to my thoughts down in here, and it'll come to my thoughts a lot of times. But he said, you don't have to worry or ever be concerned about somebody falling in away from me or anything without knowing. He said, I am faithful. He said, if they are lost, they gonna know they lost. He said, I am faithful. He said, if they're backslid, He said, and they're heading for destruction, He said, I will make sure that they know it clearly, because they won't do it ignorantly. He said, if those that are following Me are going the wrong way, He said, they will not go the wrong way without bypassing what My truth. I will get it to them. He was just really, really affirming to me here, because of the world that we live in, you know, that He is faithful. That He is faithful, that promised. See, it's possible to live a carefree life. We should not be worried about anything right now. Nothing. You a believer, you shouldn't be worried about your kids having wrecked, dying, getting killed, imagining that stuff. You shouldn't worry about that. Why? Because you're not trusting God. I mean, I know it's simple. That's why a lot of folk don't like this church. Because they get pumped up on the faith thing and the finances, where you can get their tractors and boats and all that stuff. But all that comes through victory in Jesus. All that, my pastor told me one time, see, because the enemy wanted me warped up about prosperity. I don't just preach about money here. I'm telling you right now about your life, your marriage. I've applied the Word of God to my marriage, to my business, to my ministry, to my church, to my personal. Applying the Word of God is where the victory starts. Being doers of the Word, you know. But we should not be worried about any. I'm not worried about, well, it's like, you know, we got the bad report Sunday. I come in during Sunday school. Doris's youngest daughter, in her 40s, I think. 47, been sick a few years, on oxygen, 47 years old, and everything. And her son comes in and tells Teresa, says, well, they want you to get down there because they're going to put her on a ventilator and she might not come off. I heard it. And so I'm needing to get up here. I need up here bad. That's what I feel like. So when church started, I just jumped up here, praise God. And y'all know what happened? We heard a bad report. See, I'm not afraid to voice the report that we hear. But the Bible says in Isaiah, whose report are we going to believe? Now, I know the will of God for her. Some people believe, you know, well, God needs another little angel. That's hogwash. There's nowhere in the Bible where God, they're turning into angels when they leave here. God didn't need an angel in heaven. He created angels. That is false doctrine. Some people have come up with it, I think, to explain like God did it. God didn't kill no baby. God ain't killing people in car wrecks. But I'm not, my mind is going to stay clear on it. My heart is going to stay clear on it. Praise God, he's not going to touch mine. He's not going to touch mine. God is a good God. See, if I believe God wants to take her at 47 years old, we just don't really know. It could be God's will in her time, and not according to my Bible. The Bible says long, satisfied life will he give his people, and they will enjoy his salvation. The heathen are promised, they're mentioned 80 years in the Bible. The children of God are promised 120. I got to know the will of God. I got to keep the will of God. That way when I go, you know, I asked Brad one time, I said, Brad, because I'm going to hospitals and stuff, man. And I'm going to nursing homes, and these people are just barely here. You know, and I'm like, what do I do with all of this stuff? So I go to Brad, and I said, hey, man. I said, when do I quit praying for people? He said, when they're not breathing. I said, oh, okay. Shoot, man, that was the best answer I ever had. I'm going to raise all of them out of the hospital bed now. Praise God, long as they breathing, man. And then I got confronted with some that a machine was breathing for them. I thought, man, what do I do with this one? They done made funeral arrangements. I went on a fast, and I said, God, what do I do? God, what do I do? On the third day of the fast, I was fasting for this situation, and this lady had went into a coma. See, fear hits some folk, and they can't go pray the prayer of faith. I'm not a healer, Jesus is. But I'm his voice, and you're his hands, and you're his voice. You have the same anointing on and in you that Jesus walked in, that Paul walked in. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm going to go, and the one that's with me, I'm going to send him to you. I got to go so he can come, and then y'all can finish the work that I started. Pentecost. And so the Lord said, on the third day, he said, go, lay hands on her. Go lay hands on her. Oh, glory to God, I was ready to go. She's going to this church. And I had Teresa tell me, you look bad as a pastor, man. You know, you ain't going down there. I said, I'm before the Lord here. I don't care what the church thinks. I'm not a people pleaser. Right? Pastors have got somewhat wrong on that. No, we get before the Lord. And whatever the Lord says, that's what we do. I run down there and they want nothing happen out of fear that everybody here is going to look bad on me. And it was looking bad on me. And I told the Lord, this don't look good. He said, so what? What about it? I go down there and pray God. I went in there and all the family had flew in from Texas and Georgia and all that because they're fixing to unplug this lady that goes to our church, dying too early. And I go in there and I walk up to the husband because I needed permission from the head. All I need, give me some permission here. So I walk up to him and I called his name and I said, hey man, I said, I fixing to go in and pray for your wife. I said, God's going to raise her up like that. And I mean, they come around me, all of these people, that all of them were Christians, best I could tell. And they gathered, oh, we can't believe you're doing that. Pull me off to the side. Well, I can't believe you're giving him false hope. I mean, man, don't you care about anybody's feelings? I mean, they just got me. And I felt like Jesus, I thought, I got to put them out. And so I guarded my heart there. I know what God told me. And I said, he give me permission. I walked over. I said, I still got permission? Absolutely. I go in there, praise God, hallelujah, walked up there to that woman there. She's in a coma there, praise God. I laid hands on her, and I commanded her to live and not die. See why? Because the Bible says in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, I can't get in fear. You can't get in fear and pray the prayer of faith. Some people think they're just at the mercy of God. Well, God, if you can. No, it's not if God can. He's already did it. And he sent Jesus, and he needs the body down here in the earth reaping our cars, reaping. He wants you to have good vehicles to go to church and back and go to work and back and go do your grocery shopping and back, right? Somebody the other day, I was talking to him, and he said, hey, man, he said, you need to buy my car for $1,200. I said, I don't reckon. He said, well, I need $1,200. Now, I'm all the time before the Lord, you know, if you want me to help somebody buy a car, I'm, you know, that's just one of my things, $5,100. I've given away 70 or 80 probably, houses and boats. I can't do it broke, man. Cannot. If I ain't got no money, I can't bless nobody. I can't buy them a car. I can't give them a house. I cannot. You can't either. That's why God wants us balanced out to where we're not after things, but we're after the covenant. They increase. Look at the people of God following God. I mean, they increase to where the sinners envied them. I mean, envied them because of the blessing of the Lord on their life. I'm going to have it. I'm not going to live. I told Teresa the other day, I said, when I leave here, you're going to be a wealthy woman. She goes, for me. And she's pretty blessed herself. And I thought, if she leaves, I'm going to be blessed too. I get to keep all mine and hers. Believe big, baby. Believe big, baby. Well, we down yonder living on the market. I got to go down there. Me and Teresa living on the market. And mosquitoes eating us up, trying to make a living back down there. Coming up here and going down and sleeping by the dumpsters. Before we got saved, praise God, hallelujah. And you know what? Get saved, and then Christians, a lot of Christians and preachers, they'd tell me, well, you know, you signed up for poverty. And I'm like, man, I was on the road to success. I was done buying marijuana by the big block, man. I mean, I done had some regular people that I was selling. I was going to be the richest guy in Blount County selling drugs. I done made my mind up. And I got born again, and they in the church, some of the church tell you that. They told me, they said, well, you know, you signed up for poverty because when you go to church and preach, God's people stingy, and they won't, you know, and know what the Lord told me? He said, they're trusting in the church. They're not trusting in me. He said, if they trusted in me, they wouldn't be looking for my people to bless them financially. They would be believing for me to increase them. And then I would speak. He said, I don't speak to the church to give to those that are putting their trust in man. He said, because cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He said, I speak to the church not to give. Ain't he a wise God? So they go off all bitter. I told one of them, I said, well, you know, I said, sounds like the preacher's got a problem. The preacher? Nah, people won't give. I said, the Bible tells me in Luke 6:38, I don't have to depend on the church. Luke 6:38 says give. Fact of the matter, the first church, when I went and preached, they took up an offering. And I thought, well, it's an offering. I'll just put an offering in for myself. You know, it's an offering, Brad. I mean, you know, I'm not thinking normal. I'm not thinking natural. I'm thinking this is offering time. So I throw an offering. I'm giving my offering to the Lord. Well, you know what? When I on my way home, I pulled it out, you know, and I had $10 in the offering. And the person got up and said, oh, let's bless Brother Scotty. Let's give him a good offering and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I go to the jails with him and he's anointed and blah, blah, blah. Well, I had $10 in that envelope. And I'm like, hey, man, I give more than that myself. Not that they wouldn't have cell phones back in. So I thought, when I get to the house, bless God, I'm calling that pastor. You know, it's okay to take my money, but you lied to God's people. You told them, let's bless Brother Scotty, let's, he's anointed. You, whose offering did that person steal? Mine. Right? And boy, I'm almost home and I'm getting excited. And the Lord said, don't do it. He said, don't you call. I said, Lord, you seen what happened. He said, I thought you'd preach for nothing. He said, you even said you would pay to preach. He said, now you're complaining about somebody stealing you off. He said, my kids do it to me all the time. What was God doing? God was helping me, Brad. He was helping me. I'd never put my trust. If things got, Teresa said something about things are a little slow at church and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no. You write my check. You get my pay. I don't care everything else. And I released my faith, and I said, Lord, I'm trusting you. But God, you know what? I've never got, in fact, no matter what long, I said, Lord, I think I want a raise. I think I'd like to have a raise from the church. And you know what? Little Sandy comes, I feel like the Lord wants to give you a raise. I said, you are my confirmation. Now you go tell them. I ain't telling them nothing. You go tell them. I got a raise. And then later on, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to give your salary away. I said, oh, man, I knew he was going to do something like that. I mean, ain't that like God? Oh, yeah, Lord, I got $1,500. Glory to God, hallelujah. And somebody come by and he said, I want you to give them $1,200. Oh, I ain't got but $300 again. Nah, get happy about that. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? Somebody that cheerfully gives. He loves them. He loves that. It thrills God when you're excited about giving. And you know what? The Bible says that he multiplies the seeds that are sown. And the Bible says that he makes all his grace abound. There's a grace for that. There's a grace that God's people, when they make quality decisions in here, to be givers. There's a grace that comes on them, praise God. And it's God. It's God. God's a giver. For God so loved the world that he kept Jesus. He gave him. Sold him. Hallelujah. God loved. God's good. God told me one time, he blessed me with something. I said, well, I didn't ask for that, Lord. He said, I just wanted to do it for you. I just wanted to do it. I mean, those things, the Bible says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his, it pleases God. How grieved do you think God is when we sit there, I don't know what we're going to do, God, I don't know. I mean, it grieves the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. I mean, he don't understand that language. You know, we're like, oh, God, we don't know what, but God, please. Somebody told me here a while back, they said, ask God to wrap his big loving arms around my family. I said, are you serious? How's God going to wrap his arms around your family? I said, I know the spiritual thing you're saying. I said, but that don't make no sense. In here. I said, God is in you. I said, he don't need to wrap his arms around you. I said, that gives an imagination of an unreal God. Right? We can have an imagination of an unreal God through unbelief thinking. We gotta stick with that word. That's why you're not going to be able to take the body out in the last days. COVID can't kill them. The Bible says that no plague will come to our dwelling according to Psalms 91. Now, but you know what? Fear. You can get in fear and you're a magnet for that junk. You're a magnet for flu. You're a magnet for it. I know people, one of my brothers took the COVID shots. I wasn't getting it. People got mad at me. They got mad at me for having church, Brad, said that I wanted to kill people. They're the ones I really would have liked to shot. Tell me I don't love people. I've been laying my life down for people for 30 years. Don't you tell me I don't love. I know me better than anybody on this planet. I know if I love people or not. And I'm trying to keep God in our lives so that we don't backslide and this great falling away from faith, because faith comes by hearing. And I'm coming and I'm unifying, even though it's against all odds. I told them, I said, call me a killer if you want to. They call God a killer and he's not. It's called justice with God. I said, I'm a lifesaver. I said, if I can keep them strong spiritually, I can keep them in the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil, according to Ephesians chapter 6. I said, but if I lead them into fear, I said they're going to be just like Job. The very thing that he feared came on him. Hallelujah. See, don't worry about it. They're already predicted. Yep, COVID, October. Bradley, they done give it a timeline now. October, baby. What's happening to now? Well, just go ahead and tell us. It's still out there. It's just like the flu. It's always been here. There is a purpose for the fear that they're trying to place on. And they should be able to do it to the world, because they don't have no God and no hope in this world. But the body of Christ, we are smarter than the enemy. Anything that is fear is not God speaking to us. God don't speak to us through fear. Some of God's people calls it, I mean, this is pretty deep stuff right here. I'm victorious. You're victorious. We are not out here afraid of COVID. We're not out here afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of not having my bill money. I'm not afraid that Teresa's going to leave me anymore. I got all this stuff settled that my God is faithful and that God will come through for me. And then when the challenge comes, I look at the Bible. I take the Bible. If I need to fight off the fear thoughts, I take the Bible and I put it in my mind and I say it out of my mouth. And that is how you resist the devil. You resist him with the word of God. And the Bible says in Revelations that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. He's already shed it and sealed it, and the words of our testimony, loving not our lives unto the death. See, if I'm fearful, then it's all about me. I told you the story. It's real. I was afraid back when I was 10 years old. The road that we lived on, Tornado Alley. By gollies, it was named Tornado Alley, not by the city or county, by the people. Because every year, it's between two mountains. And I mean, every spring, the tornadoes come down that alley. It was just seemed like every year. Well, see, I saw it throw people through barbed wire fences. We're in there and they're holding the door shut, and this tornado sounded like a freight train, and it picked up a pump house and threw it on my dad's pickup truck, and it done broke the locks and they're holding the doors, and the linoleum is pulled up. It looks like a bubble in there to where it's sucking it up, I guess. It's either pushing it up or sucking it, and it felt like at any second this house is going to leave. I mean, and I'm burning. I mean, every year from that point, my sideburns, out of fear, if I even heard that there's going to rain, thunderstorms. I mean, it was like that give me evidence of how that thing could do to me and what it could do to me as a kid. And it took big block building. When I got born again, the Lord said, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And I would say that to people, and they say, well, Brother Scotty, you know, you got to use common sense. I said, where's that at in the Bible? Where's that at? Where did you get that? Use common sense. I said, I made a wreck of my life using common sense. Me and Teresa, we couldn't have a good life using common sense. I said, where did you get that out of the Bible, that we're to use common sense? Well, it just makes common sense. I said, I find in the Bible that I'm supposed to have on the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to put on the mind of Christ. I said, what would Jesus do? You know, we it was in the era of that WWJD, but everybody used it on the drinking pot and smoking pot, and they used it on everything bad. You know, but the Lord asked me later on, he said, remember the bracelet WWJD? Yeah. He said, why don't you think about it as a positive way? Why don't you think about what would I do when you don't have money to eat? What would I do when your body is attacked with sea? What would I do? What would I do at the Red Sea? I would roll it back. What would I do at the Jordan River? I would roll it back. I would dry it up. They would walk across. He said, now you renew your mind to that. See, the body's rising in this last hour that'll stay with that word. I'm not trying to build you up. I'm laying the word of God out here. The building up is on the individual. The individual has to take the word of God. A lot of what I'm saying today is like, you know, it's like, I can't believe he preaches that. It's all Bible. Check it with the Bible. You're not supposed to call yourself weak and sick and don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do in your family. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust the one that is able to do abundantly above, greater than I can think or ask. When something comes to take my house, I tried in the natural, and it all failed me. Then I'm walking out there, and I said, God, I tried to figure out how to save my family and save everything that I've worked for, Lord. I owed everybody everything. I didn't have one thing paid for hardly. I owed on everything. I said, Lord, I've tried it my way. And I even went to the lawyer, and I'm going to close with this. I went to the lawyer, and then the government was going to pay him. He said, Mr. Weston, he said, you ain't got no choice but to go bankrupt. He said, you got to go bankrupt. He said, you don't have no choice. And I looked at him, you know, and I said, well, I'm going to think about it. He said, there's nothing to think about. He said, you don't have no choice. And when he said that in here, I thought, I've always got a choice. You know, so I walked out on the streets of Oneonta, and I'm walking down that sidewalk, and I said, God, I'm sorry. Your word says for me not to turn to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, Lord. And Lord, I let my mind and my natural man and trying to save us, trying to figure out when I know I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to cast things on you and trust you. And I let my mind take over, and I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I tried to find bankrupt in the Bible, and I can't find it, Lord, and I'm not going to do it. I said, but I did find, and now the Holy Spirit's helping me. And so the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture where he says, no man has left father, mother, daughter, brother, sister, land for my sake in the Gospels, and lost nothing. And I took that scripture, and that's all I had, and that's all I needed. I took that scripture, and I mean, when everything was crying quit and everything was not going to work out thoughts, I took that scripture and I said it over and over and over and over. And I would tell the devil, you go ahead with your thoughts to me, buddy. I know how to cast them down, and I'm replacing them with this. And I told him personally, I told Satan, I said, you mark it in your calendar if you've got one, Jack. I won't lose nothing according to God's word, and I believe him rather than you. I believe him rather than the report, the bank, and all that. Last time the bank called me after I got out that scripture, I said, I know you're only doing your job. I said, but I signed them papers at that bank and promised them that I would make those payments. And God said a good name is rather to be chosen than fine. Now I'm turning to the Bible. Now I'm thinking straight. Now I'm in faith. Now I'm aggressive. And I told him, I said, you go back and you tell your boss. I said, you tell your boss, y'all will never get my house. Clink. You know what? You know who owns that house today? Me and Teresa own that house. Not me, Teresa, and the bank. We own it. I could have quit. I could have got out and moved, Brad. I could have got out. I could have stayed in fear. I could have stayed trying. That's where a lot of God's people are today. Can't figure out why life's not working out for them. Because you got to trust the Lord. You know, it's not churchism anymore. This thing is coming down to where the Bible says that the violent take it by force. We take this kingdom, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit.